Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Tonight, we want to close the gap. I'm sure you have seen the outline. Closing the what? The gap. I believe strongly in the prayers we pray tonight for rain to fall. And that rain will fall upon you. It will fall upon me. It will fall upon our families. In Jesus' name. But if rain is falling, and you are using baskets to collect it, what will happen? How much of it will you retain? That is why you have to pay attention to tonight's study. Because God is doing wonderful things in the life of many of us. But because we have not learned to close the gap, as the blessings are pouring in, they are also what? Leaking out. So tonight, the Lord is going to speak to our hearts. He's going to speak to our lives. Nehemiah chapter 6. It's quite an hidden phrase there. But the Holy Spirit has pointed that to us and want to look at it critically. And in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1. Father, bless us again in your word. Open our eyes to see. And our hearts to understand. Lord, as your word comes to us tonight, beyond, O God, that which I will say, open the eyes of your children to see the gaps in our lives and the grace to close them. Grant to us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can we read together Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1? When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that had rebuilt the wall, and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors. So the question is, what is a gap? Those of us familiar with construction, when you are building a wall, how do they normally build? Often there are gaps, isn't it? And towards the end, what do they normally do? They make sure they use what to close the gap. Cement, concrete, to fill up every gap. So what is a gap? A gap is what? An empty space. No matter how little it is, it's a space. Okay, what else is a gap? Yes, ma'am. An inlet. A gap is an inlet, an inroad. Okay? It's an entry point. If there's no gap, there's no way you can gain access. A gap is a space. It's an opening. In this context, it's a loophole. An entry point, access point. It is a crack. So Nehemiah said, we have been building, but up to this time, we have not finished our work. The doors are yet to be fixed. Even though we have taken care of all the gaps, not a gap was left in it. And it's my prayer tonight that in your life there shall be no gap. No entry point for the devil. No inroad for Satan. You know, some of our lives, the devil, he has unrestrained access. He comes in whenever he wants to come in and goes out whenever he wants to go out. And you keep asking, why is this thing happening to me? Why is it that every time I'm close to my breakthrough, this will happen? There are some of us, something good is about to happen. Once you have a particular dream, everything just fizzles out. You know it, that once you have this dream, everything goes out. It's an indication that there's what? There's a gap that must be what? Must be closed. Nehemiah said, not a gap was left in it. A gap is a space, an opening, a breach, a loophole, an entry point, an access point, a crack in the wall. Read and share from these scriptures some of the dangers of not closing the gaps in the walls of our lives as individuals, families, and church. So let's read some scriptures. The first one there is 1 Samuel chapter 18. What are some of the dangers? When there are gaps. You know, we have spent good time testimony, so I'm not reading the introduction so that we can save time. And I won't be around next week because we are going to Goku. So I want to take this session that is critical. One of our pastors will conclude the study next week. Are you in 1 Samuel chapter 18? Let's see some of the things that happen when there are gaps, when we don't close the gaps in our lives, in our families, in the church. Can we read together Nehemiah chapter 18, verse 10 and 11? I mean, 1 Samuel, rather. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Let's read together. That's serious, isn't it? Saul. Who was Saul? A old king. But that verse 10 says what happened to him. It says an evil spirit from God came forcefully on him. Living Translation says, the next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul. New King James says, and it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul. Message. The next day, an ugly mood was sent by God to afflict Saul. So, that's the danger. When gaps are left open in your life, in your family, you're opening yourself to the influence of demonic force, satanic powers, experiences that you cannot explain as to why this should be happening. And may the Lord close every gap in your life, in my life, to demon spirit in Jesus' name. A tormenting spirit, a demonic spirit, distressing spirit, ugly mood, most depressions are demonically influenced. Take note, most, not necessarily all. So somebody say, I'm in a bad mood. I'm in a bad mood. Every time you're in a bad mood, it's because there's a gap that the enemy comes in. And every time he will give you what? A bad mood. I reject bad mood in your life in Jesus' name. I reject it in my life in the name of Jesus. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, can we read together again? Whoever digs what may fall into it. Whoever breaks through what a wall may be beaten by a snake. How many of us like snake here? I don't like snake. I hate snake. I remember some years ago, during holiday, my parents would say, stay with your guardian, don't come home. So I would stay with my guardian. And unfortunately, I was the only boy out of about 8 girls. So they went outside where they were playing. They saw snake. Guess whom they came to call? The only man in the house. To come and kill what? I said, you saw snake. Ah, wonderful. Give me time, let me look for a long stick. So I went in search of a long stick, and I couldn't see a long stick until about 3 p.m. I came back home. So you know what has happened to the snake before I return? Snakes are symbolic of satanic powers. Remember when we were going on chop planting, the Lord would say, I give you power to do what? To tread upon what? Serpents and scorpions. And overall powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by what? Enemies hurt you. But here we are reading that anyone that does what? Breaks the edge. The serpent will bite. One of the reasons why we went and came back intact was because people kept the instruction. I wish also the instruction we sent circulated, the circular I sent out, got to them in Port Harcourt early. Because they violated one of the instructions we gave that nobody should move at specific time. And because they went across, against that instruction, that happened. Whenever the church is moving in a particular direction and you are going against that direction, you are breaking what? The edge. And the serpent may do what? May strike. The same thing in the family. When the head of the home gives an instruction, don't contradict it. Don't break the edge. Whenever we break the edge, we have created a gap for the enemy to do what? To strike. And sometimes it will strike so badly that it may take God to bring about serious recovery. So tonight, the Lord is saying to you, close the gap. Don't break the edge. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What's the next scripture? Luke chapter 8. Let's read Luke chapter 8, we are looking at the dangers of not closing the gap. The dangers. Luke 8. We read verse 2 and verse 30. Who is reading for us? Luke 8. Did you hear that? And some women who had been what? Cured of evil spirits and diseases. And tonight, if any one of us is having problem of this nature, by the virtue of your coming to this meeting tonight, God will cure you. In the name of Jesus. They were cured. And particularly a lady, a sister was mentioned. Her name happened to be what? Mary called what? Magdalene. The Bible says, from whom 7 demons had come out. My concern is, what if Christ had not intervened in the life of Mary? That means for the rest of her life, what will happen? She'll be going around with how many demons? 7. That is perfect. I mean, 7 is the symbol of what? Perfection. Perfect demonic possession. Thank you, Deacon. And there are many people like this walking on the streets. Can you see danger? My worry is, where did she get it from? Where? I'm not sure time will permit us to begin to go to courses tonight. But for Mary Magdalene, her waywardness, her immoral life, because the Bible makes us to understand sometime later that a woman who had lived a wayward life came to Jesus one day and was anointing his feet. Sexual immorality, sexual perversion, fornication, adultery, all kinds of sexual whatever, pornography, is opening people's life to demon spirit and they do not know it. That's the danger. When you begin to live reckless life, immoral life, and you think that nobody is seeing you, nobody is seeing you truly, but demon spirit, they are already what? Entering into that life. Are you a young man here? You are playing with pornography. You need to close the gap. You don't close that gap, in the long run, it may be terrible. Let's read on. Another scripture, okay? I think we should read verse 30. Or let's read from verse 22 to have a background to verse 30. Of our passage, verse 26 rather. Let's take from verse 26.
They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him.
Thank you, sir. Even though we are not in demonology class, but we are touching on them tonight. When Jesus asked this spirit, "What is your name?" What was the answer he gave? Is that correct answer? That's to tell you that demon spirits, they are lying spirits. They don't naturally tell the truth. Legion is not the answer. Jesus is asking, "What is your name?" But the demon mentioned number. Legion is what? A number. So what is legion? Is my general in church? General Jibadio. What is a legion? What is a legion? Yeah, plenty. We know it's plenty. It's more than 100. If you have dictionary there, check legion. Legion will tell you between 3,000 and 6,000. Can you imagine a man abhorring how many demon spirits? At least minimum 3,000. So that shows or explains why that spirit will be controlling and harassing that man's life the way he was doing. The Bible says, where was he living? Where was his house? In the cemetery. He took charge of the whole area. That when this man surface like this, if you are from that village, you dare not pass. No clothes, nothing. That's the danger of what we are talking about tonight. Close the gap, close the gap. Close the gap. Can you hear me tell your neighbor, close the gap? A few years ago, I went to my town to attend a burial program. And as we came to the reception, there's this madman who came around where people were seated to be entertained. And everybody was chasing him away. My aunt called me and said, "Biodun, come. He said, Do you know that man? I said, "That's a madman. What concern with a madman? How will I know him?" He said, "That's Kwanli." He said, "That's Kwanli. Kwanli, do you know Kwanli?" I said, "You can't tell me that's Kwanli. We all grew up together in the church, Baptist church, in the town. But the father started putting hand into demonic stuff. Not long, the thing backfired, the mother died. The one that did not die became insane and was now working the whole town mad. I beg you tonight, whatever is the gap that needs to be closed in your life, daddies, mommies, children, check your life. The gap you do not close now, if you allow Satan to come in, it may be too dangerous to manage. Can you imagine this man terrorizing everywhere? That one single man will be outburning minimum 3,000 demon spirits. How will such a life be meaningful? It takes the power of God alone to deliver such a man. And thank God for demon spirit. You know, I thank God for demon spirit. One thing I like about them is that if they don't respect you, they respect Jesus. Hallelujah. They may not respect me because of my size or your size, because you're a man or a woman, but they respect the man you carry. Greater is he that is in me, that is in you, than who? You see where you need to be born again. Some are not born again. No. The greater one must be inside of you, so that any rascal that wants to come in, once they see the greater one there, what would they do? Say, no, I can't come inside this place. I can't enter here. Ah! If not for Jesus, I wonder how this man will have ended his life. The whole community had given up on him. When everybody is sleeping and resting at home, he's in the cemetery, in the graveyard. Shouting and everybody be here. Yeah. It's him. It's him. And nobody could help him. Until Jesus told the disciples, let's go to the other side. I have something doing there. Do you know that day it was only because of this man that Christ came? Because immediately finished with that assignment, he left. Hallelujah. I thank God for Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I think God is setting me up with this study. Because as we go on the teaching, we're going to be teaching us how to undo deliverance generally. We are told that we're going to do this at the leadership level alone, but we do it for the whole church. So that when you have demonic cases to undo, you will not refer them to Pastor Hike. Say, Pastor Hike, we minister the deliverance. You yourself, you're a deliverance minister. Say to yourself, I'm a deliverance minister. I better listen very well, because God will be arranging cases from you as from tonight. You hear what I said? God will arrange practicals for you. That no pastor will be there. And when you call me, unfortunately, my phone will be off. So you will undo it by yourself. I only come to church to do what? To give testimony. One man in my home church, Reverend may know him, so let me not mention him. He brought a house up to the house, and he didn't do his normal check. See, these are entry points. Satan can come into your house through enemies. So you must learn to close the gap. So the house help came, and from the day that house help came, one problem or the other, one problem or the other. They notice some strange things about this girl that each time they go to her room at night, when she's sleeping, on a comfortable bed, her two legs are crossed, and they are raised and placed on the wall. You slept on the bed, instead of your legs being on the bed, where is the position? On the wall, crossed. You think that one is normal? Now, so then they sleep. I'm asking you, is that how they sleep? That's how Paul slept, and he was caught to the third heavens. Is that how Paul slept? So this man didn't know what to do. Typical Baptist. So he couldn't enter the room. Grown-up man. So he opened the door and carried Bible. I was doing like this. But do you know that God, in his mercy, even with that one, something happened. The girl jumped up and began to confess all the atrocities that she's been committing in the house, all the center to come and do. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the word of God. What are we dealing with tonight? That when we are careless and we allow gaps in our lives, and Satan enters, it takes the power of God to check him out. Some of us are very good. The whole village is living in your house. They are looking for somewhere to send their children to in Lagos. I say our uncle is in Lagos. So this one is in your house, that one is in your house, that one is in your house. Your house is saturated. Yeah, it's good though, but you also have to be what? Very, very careful. One of the things we do is that before such people enter your house and balance, bring them to a pastor, let them pray. Don't just admit people into your house, in your home, anyhow. Let's take some more scriptures so that we can close. Chapter 11, verse 24 to 26. Luke 11. One of the things, interesting thing I found as I was preparing the study is that most of these passages came from Luke. And I was wondering whether he had a particular interest in demonology. I don't know. There's something to research. This is a critical passage for all of us to look at. Deacon, are you reading for us?
When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first.
We are familiar with this passage, isn't it? Demon spirits need habitation. And most of the time, they prefer to dwell in human beings. Human beings that are careless. So the Bible says that when an evil spirit comes out of a man, maybe they pray for that person and the evil spirit leaves, what will he be doing? He'll be roaming around, going through what? Arid places, seeking what? Seeking rest Evil demon spirit, they need what? They need rest. But usually they will not find. And the Bible says what we need now decide to do. It will speak to itself and say, I will return to the house I left. If you read King James, it says, I will return to my former house. And I say, only. How can you say somebody's life is your former house? When do you become landlord? Well, the unfortunate thing is that the devil has become landlord in some people's life. He's in charge. So the Bible says he will not go and do what? Look for seven other wicked spirits. Say, come, come, come. I get flat to rent. You are looking for a house. I get flat. I can accommodate all of you. I will not bring them in. I want us to look at that scripture very well. Why did they succeed to come back inside? Because the house was left empty when that spirit left. Your life is not meant to be empty. My life, our homes, the church is not meant to be what? To be empty. There must be somebody occupying our lives. Somebody must be occupying your life. Somebody must be occupying your family. And who is that person? Who is that person? I say, who is that person? If you know, shout his name, oh. Because this life was empty, the demon went and hired seven wicked spirits. And they now came to lodge. And the Bible said, the end of that man, what happens? Sometimes you pray for people, they recover, and suddenly they will say the sickness came back, and this time around, it was what? It was worse. It's because the space was not occupied. We don't have much time tonight to press on. And the question I want to ask you is, where are the gaps in your life? Where are the gaps in your family? Let's read Luke 22. Verses 3 to 6. Deacon, thank you. You can read for us.
Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present.
That is Brother Judas. Of all people, Judas was called to be one of what? The 12. Judas will have become what? An apostle. But what happened? Judas' life, ministry, and destiny was truncated because the enemy had a space. Do you know that for many years, the devil was looking for Jesus? From the time of conception to the point of delivery, Satan was saying, no, this boy must not be born. This boy must not be allowed to live. Let's plan to kill him. And you remember the story of Jesus, isn't it? How at birth, Herod, just because of the boy Jesus gave a decree and all the children in the land were slaughtered. Christ escaped to Egypt. The devil was after him from that point because he knew that if he should go to the cross, that would be his end. And he was looking for opportunity. He didn't get it. Several times the Jews will gather while Jesus is preaching and they want to throw him down the cliff. What did the Bible say we do? He will escape. So one day, Satan said, no, we have to change strategy. And they had a conference. And one spirit moved a motion. Say, Oga, you have sent us after this man. We have tried him from Bati today. We couldn't succeed. We want you yourself to take over this matter. Say, what will I do? Say, why can't you just enter into one of them? Say, one of which? He said, one of his disciples. Ah. Satan said, that will not be possible. All those boys, they are too loyal. One of them said, try Peter, try Peter. That one, the pra-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa is mouth. Pra-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa in game Maoria. Pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa. Now soon they talk, poo-poo-poo-poo-poo-poo-poo-poo. You know, it could have been Peter. And I said, ah, Peter, yes, he has problem. But he knows how to win his way back. He will not want to betray his master. And that one raised up his hand and said, I know whom we can use. I've been working on him all this while, if we did not know. He said, with that? He said, Judas Iscariot. He said, ah, how are we going to enter him? He said, the gap is already there. Only his master knows. The rest of us, they don't even know. He said, where is the gap? Judas Iscariot is a thief. Who is thief? You know, I'm the treasurer. So every time they brought money for the ministry, Jesus said, Judas, keep the money. But Judas was also doing what? Helping himself, according to the scriptures. The gap was already there. I know the problem with money is that once you are caught in the web, you always want more money. So the love of money was the gap that the enemy used to finish Judas. Each time I read this passage, I say, God, have mercy on my soul. The Bible says, Satan entered Judas. How can Satan enter into an apostle of the Lamb? How can Satan enter into somebody who has lived this life following the Lord? How can Satan enter into a man who has been in the church all these years? How possible? There was a gap. Judas carelessly opened his life. This time around, Esther, it wasn't a demon that entered. It was who? Satan himself. And after they are finished, when Satan has entered, you know what happened? They offered him money. And he collected. Excuse me, how much? How did he end his life? He died peaceably. With long life, God satisfied him. When Satan finished with him, Satan advised him. Say, you have finished your ministry. This is why you are born. Satan is wicked, though. Very wicked. The same man who entered into him and made him to do the unthinkable, the unimaginable. When he got done with him, he counseled him to kill himself. Not just that he counseled him, he took him to the right place to do it. Took him to the, say, jump. Judas, jump. 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 And before you know it, Judas did what? And what happened? His intestine, everything scattered. I don't know why there was a digression on this study. Sincerely speaking, I prepared another study to start on the 12 gates of Jerusalem. But the Holy Spirit is pointing his finger on this matter. We're going to close now. Or before we close, because Sunday is going to be communion, let me show us a scripture that the Lord opened my eyes to see. John chapter 13 is a corollary to this passage. John 13. So let's take it from verse 27. John 13, 27 to 30. Deacon, you don't want to read for us again.
As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. What you are about to do, do quickly, Jesus told him. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor.
Verse 30.
As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out and it was night.
He went out and it was night. Satan led him into utter darkness. But verse 27 says, immediately he took the bread. What happened? Satan did what? That's verse what again? 27. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. I want to beg you. Communion table is not a place you come to carelessly. It's a place you come to with trepidation. You check your life. You pray all kinds of prayer. Because at the communion table, something always happens. Something satanic or something divine. Two things we always have, and one must be your choice, the divine. At the communion table, it's either Satan will come in or God will come into your situation. The gap was in his life and he will not repent. He will not examine his life. He will not confess his sin. And he even carried it to the communion table. So careless. And Satan came in. And that was Wahala. Two prayer points we are going to pray before we close tonight. Whether you want to kneel down, you want to stand up or whatever.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jaffade Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook at Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.